The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, welcome back. 4 o'clock. Crisello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Mr. Scraby, Gwynn and Chris, 97.3, The Fan. First half of the show is in the books. Our first debate has been put to bed. I will say this is a pretty good topic, I think. I think Tony came up with it because the voting, and I don't know that we're always going to have a vote. We just did today because we don't really know exactly where this is going to go. But you guys out there were pretty split on that subject. So yes. That, to me, makes it a good debate subject.
We have a listener that demands a recount. I will be doing that later. I got to find that 1%.
Don't make any voting jokes on this show.
Come on.
We're going to get into some Chris versus the fans here. It's going to take me a while to read the prize. It's lengthy.
It is lengthy.
But if you win it, you'll be happy about it. Qualified for a chance to win the grand prize. It's a two-night stay at the Westgate, Las Vegas. Two tickets to Soul of Motown, $150 food and beverage credit. The Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino features newly designed premier rooms, part of their $70 million room renovations. Home of legendary Vegas fun, the award-winning Soul of Motown high-energy concert-style musical tribute celebrating Motown legends. When I say Motown legends, Tony Gwynn Jr., who pops to your mind first?
Motown legends.
Motown legends.
Like the Isley Brothers.
I don't like where this is going.
Is that where you go, Isley Brothers? Yeah. I go Four Tops.
Okay. All right.
This is a must-see show during your Las Vegas vacation getaway. Tickets at WestgateResorts.com. Let's play Chris versus the fans. What do you say?
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know Gen 4.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. Let me read the rules.
Oh, dear.
It is kind of cold. I need to put back on my sweatshirt, too. Everybody's like, man, how can you be wearing a sweatshirt when it's like 70 degrees? It's 61 in here, I believe. You have to make it through three questions.
Tony's putting a parka on right now.
I'm about to do the same. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. If you're a first-time player, let us know before the first question. You'll get that question for free today and start on number two. Chris versus the fans is presented by SD Fat Loss. Lose 20 to 30 pounds in just 60 days. Visit SDFatLoss.com to schedule your free consultation. Real quick about that chair. Sam was sitting there. Sorry. Sam was sitting there last week, and he was literally an ice cube. So I don't know how Chris sits in that chair with no sweatshirt.
I sat there on your one day when you were on Thursday. That fan right there, I don't know how you sit, especially with no socks on your feet. You come in here with the flip-flops on, I would die.
I like to be cold.
I like to be cold when I have blankets, like underneath the pillow.
Keeps me alert. You turn that fan off and heat things up in here, I'll be asleep in 5 minutes, especially if Scraby's on one of his diatribes.
It does. I do remember a time.
It does put me down pretty good.
I do remember a time when it was very warm in this room. We would even broadcast with the door open. It was like 90 degrees.
That's summertime.
We've honestly never found the happy medium in 7 years.
It's too hot or too cold.
Yeah, that's true.
All right.
Scraby, first contestant, please.
First contestant will go with Ian.
What's up, Ian? Happy hump day.
Hey.
All right, here we go.
First time player.
Here we go. Second question. Oh, Scraby dug deep on these ones. How about this one? Three Padres won a Silver Slugger yesterday. Give me the three.
Merrill, Profar, and Maya Machado.
Say the first one again?
Yeah, give me the three again.
Jackson Merrill, Profar, Machado.
Nice job.
Nice work.
Good job, Ian.
Well, Ian, you are one question away from ending this game far too early.
I feel like these are fantastic number three questions.
I think they are, too. I'm certainly not knocking any of them. Here we go. Question number three.
I'll be the judge.
Who is the youngest starting quarterback? We got to phrase this right.
Why? I looked at the days.
We got to phrase it right. Who is the youngest starting quarterback in the NFL this year, I guess?
Yeah, there you go.
Let's just say you have to be the main starter. You can't just be a backup at start.
Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, he got it no matter what you guys did.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at.
No, it's not right.
No.
That stinks. I thought he had it.
Stay there, Ian.
All right. Now I need to know what you're finagling with. Who's the youngest starting quarterback in the league?
In the league.
Yes.
It's not Anthony Richardson.
Yes. Correct. It's not.
Correct. Caleb Williams? I don't know. He's like 35 years old.
He is not 35.
I'll try Bo Nix.
He's also 35 years old.
I don't know.
Wow, Ian, you are the winner.
Anywhere.
Stay
Good
right
you,
there.
Win your debut.
So I went
Wait,
back.
Before you speak, okay. I just want to say.
Before you speak.
I just want to say I made it seem as though Scraby might have gotten this wrong. He didn't. He got it right. Anthony Richardson was who I was on my mind. I thought he was younger than 22. Turns out he's 22. And he's a little bit older than Drake May. Who is the youngest quarterback in the league. So, Ian, that means you move.
I would have never guessed
game,
that anyway.
That's game.
Ian,
that's good game. For you. Nice work, Ian.
Ian, you're one step away from Las Vegas, man. Good on you for playing for the first time and winning.
Yeah, hang
in
on.
Your debut.
See, hang on the line.
I knew.
It's Scraby.
When
get
this question
safe.
Was asked. How do you know that that guy doesn't have a birthday after that guy?
Immediately, when I was reading
the question,
I saw Drake May. I was like, that ain't right, man. I know Drake May seems like he's way older than Anthony Richardson, but he's not.
Richardson is 100 days older. Very good. I just looked you up.
Can we talk about quarterback malpractice since we got some time?
Might as well, even though we'll kind of touch on this with Brent a little later on, but we certainly could talk about it.
Anthony Richardson is now the starter of the Colts again, and Joe Flacco is moving to the bench.
Flacco.
I feel like this is very confusing for a guy like Anthony Richardson. Like, 2 weeks ago, you were saying I was a terrible human for tapping out, and I'm going to be benched now, and Joe Flacco has a bad game, and now I'm the starter again. I don't know what they're doing with him, but I think they're handling him incorrectly.
What would you have done?
I would stick with Joe Flacco.
Really? And just bench him for the rest of the year?
No, let him sit there and learn. He started like 12 or 13 games in college. He does not have a lot of starting experience as a quarterback. Let him sit behind Joe Flacco, learn and grow, and start over next year.
I think I kind of agree with Scraby on this, and here's why. He played the 12.
Scraby, you might have remarked that.
I will.
I remember Tony agreeing with you.
the last time that happened.
He played 12 or 13 games his freshman year. He played however many before he was out for the season last year. It's not so much that I had a problem with them benching him, because there's probably an element that he does need to sit on the sidelines and learn. I think my issue with this move is that I feel like had Joe Flacco played well in the two games that he didn't, that he was out, they would have stuck with Flacco. But now, because he hasn't played well, appears to be some type of punishment for tapping out the other day. I mean, and whether it's actually that or not, it's how it appears, because why else would you be entering, putting him back in the game if you felt like he wasn't ready to be a starter right now?
Well, here's the thing. What's the guy's... never mind me asking, because the chat would say that I should know.
No, if you ask,
the first and last name of every coach in the league.
No, they're fine
Shane
with you asking.
Steichen. Yeah, my apologies to the
Chris
chat.
Chris has this very wrong. They
everything.
Don't care if you ask. They care when you say
care.
That you know and you don't.
Shane's an idiot. That's something I know, because... he came out at the very beginning.
Yes, he did.
And he canned Richardson right after the tap out. And he lied and claimed that Joe Flacco gives us the best chance to win. And if you're going to lie from the beginning, when all of a sudden Joe Flacco doesn't give you the best chance, you're going to look pretty lost
crazy, yeah.
when you try to go back and change it. And so he didn't have a chance after lying. But to mess this up.
Yeah.
So
he could have just, if you would have just said from the beginning, we're gonna sit Anthony down, let him kind of learn why this was unacceptable.
Yeah.
The tap out.
Simple.
He would have left himself open, wide open, to be able to make this change again. And listen, he's a head coach. He can do what he wants, but there's going to be scrutiny because of the way that he's handled it.
Eric Spoelstra, we'll talk about it in the Big Five. Eric Spoelstra teaches all coaches today how to come to, how to just admit when you blew it and be honest. We will all allow you to make the mistake and allow you right back out. But these coaches never do. Most of them lie there the whole time.
The irony in all of these things is that had they just told the truth from the beginning, they wouldn't even be in the situation.
Nobody would even have asked. He could have just said Richardson's back in.
I think we're not thinking of one major aspect of this whole thing, and that is the Colts owner, Jim Irsay, is very involved in making decisions, and he could have said, I want him benched, and then he's like, Joe Flacco stinks. I want him to play again.
Every time that Irsay has dipped his toe into the problem-fixing arena.
We find out.
Like, it's reported. We catch him. You know, I'm not willing to blame Irsay for this one just yet. It was the head coach that came up there and told us Joe Flacco gives us the best chance to win, and now he's saying 2 weeks later, Anthony Richardson actually gives us a better chance of winning these ball games.
Yeah, it's very mixed messaging, if you ask me.
Here's something that's not a mixed message. Pittsburgh Steelers safety Deshaun Elliott, on a podcast today, said now that he's with the Steelers, he's looking forward to playing the Baltimore Ravens. Last year, he played the Ravens as a member of the Dolphins. The Ravens won that game 56-10.
You taking shots at Dolphins catching strays?
Deshaun Elliott, because of that, said he's happy to be playing the Ravens now because the team he played on last year was soft as F. Quote.
I don't
straight up just threw the entire team under the bus. Mike McDaniel, the Dolphin coach, said he doesn't care about it. He's worried about the games. Here's the thing, Scrabe. You would think that I'm not a fan of Deshaun Elliott for saying this about my favorite team.
I would.
But he's right. I think the Dolphins are soft, and that's why they get whooped. And if you go back to that freezing cold game in Kansas City, who looked like they were playing football and who looked like they couldn't wait to get back in the locker room? It was pretty obvious to me.
Yeah.
And I think it was obvious to everybody watching that game.
I
do think the Dolphins are soft. And I'm, even though they'll not admit it, I'm glad they somebody came out and said this, because maybe they'll do something about it.
It's going to anger them, right?
There is an element of toughness that it does seem like the Dolphins, they don't really have.
I agree.
They don't really have. I mean, no part of their offense is gritty.
They don't bull anybody over.
It's all speed and finesse.
And they don't commit any unsportsmanlike conduct penalties on defense either.
And to your point, when it gets to the cold months of
December, never win a game.
It's tough to speed guys don't generally do well
yes,
in the cold weather.
They've been
weather.
Losing cold weather games since I've been 10 years old. Yeah. I mean, it's not anything brand new.
What do you guys think about, maybe we should hold this to the other side.
You know we should. It's 4-14.
Tyreek Hill came out and said the reason, well, maybe not the reason, but he has been dealing with an injury this year that all stemmed from the arrest before the first game.
He's got a wrist injury.
I wanted to see if you guys,
I will give him the wrist injury. But I don't see how that's keeping him from running down the field and getting open the way he used to.
He's
not
me
even open
football.
Right now.
He absolutely killed me in fantasy football.
He's killed whoever had him this year. He's never open. And the only they figured out just cover Hill because Waddle will drop the ball. I mean, that's how you play the Dolphins. Come on.
Okay.
Soft as F.
Charmin soft? Is that qualifying?
That's my cold. Take on the Dolphins for the moment. All right, traffic check. Big Five is coming up soon. Brent Sobleski later on the NFL.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Go around.
Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scrape. Brent Sobleski, Bleacher Report, will join us in the 5 o'clock hour.
If you're an NFL fan, don't miss that one. He's great. Excellent insight. Brent Sobleski.
Hold up. Let me make sure I'm paying all my bills here.
Paying your bills right now.
Boom. Yes. Let me go ahead and
do
that.
Well, it's an important thing to do.
He meant reads.
Yeah. Well,
oh.
Yeah.
He's not like my actual
credit card
bills.
Right now.
No, not my actual bill. Don't let AI dictate your fantasy lineup. Instead, get bite-sized fantasy football analysis in your ears. Listen to the Sleeping King podcast. That's right. Give you all the fantasy insight you'll need in just 20 minutes every day. Every league has a Sleeper King. It should be you. Follow the Sleeper King on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Baseball cards. Chris.
I'm going to go. This just came to my attention today, and I wanted to make sure that everybody's seen this because I think it's kind of crazy. Does everybody know what's going on with the Menendez brothers? Have you heard this in the news, Tony?
Has that been decided?
It is not.
Okay.
They're still in jail.
Yes.
And apparently they're in jail somewhere around these parts.
Yes, they're in near the border.
Okay. And for those who don't have any idea, the Menendez brothers, many years ago.
Yeah, if you were born in 2000.
Yeah,
like
you may not.
Yesterday.
Many, many years ago, they were found guilty of murdering their parents. And they've served 34 years in prison for murdering their parents. And they've been in there, but now there's a movement to get them out. And apparently It's kind of being discussed. I'm not going to get too deep into the details of that, but it's a little up in the air. They may get out. They may not. They were obviously, I don't want to say obviously, but there's a lot of evidence that states they were basically tortured by their parents, and all kinds of untoward things happened to them that may have caused them to snap and murder their parents. I know this is heavy stuff.
This is unproven.
This is precisely why there is a conversation being had on whether
they should be able to get out.
Right.
Well, apparently somebody has unearthed an old basketball card of Mark Jackson, the guy who coached the Warriors.
Mama,
and then,
there goes that man.
Yeah, that guy. And the voice of NBA TV. And it's a 1990 basketball card of Mark Jackson playing at Madison Square Garden. And he's dribbling the ball up the floor and sitting at courtside seats, apparently about 6 months after they murdered their parents, are the Menendez brothers in the basketball card. It's quite remarkable, actually.
It
really is, because, you know, one of the things that came up in that trial was after they murdered their parents, they pretty much went on a spending spree.
Went on a spending spree. Figured they, you know, who knows how long they had to be free.
I guarantee you.
So they just went out and bought courtside Knick tickets, among other things.
Even in 1990.
That was expensive.
Courtside tickets at the Knicks game at Madison Square Garden would
cost
you a pretty penny. And now you're sitting there with one of them sitting there with the starter Knick hat as he's watching.
That was an additional penny.
It's an additional penny. It is wild for those of us who were, you know, old enough to remember all of that going down.
Yeah,
that this picture is unearthed, and
it's crazy. I don't know how somebody found it. You have a 1990 basketball card. Did somebody go back from 35 years and look through their cards by chance and happen to see it?
I'm surprised that Chris had never heard about this until today, because I've known about this for a few years.
You've known about it for a while.
This has been out for a long time. Yes,
okay,
yes,
see, I had no idea.
Like, this post I just retweeted is almost a year old. So we were talking about it back then, but I know that you were meeting with a friend and they told you about it.
Yeah, they told me about it. And I said, I got to share this with our listeners, because I thought it was pretty crazy.
Rod said it's $20 on eBay if you want it, guys.
The card?
That card of Mark Jackson.
Oh, you can actually buy the card. Yeah, okay. How much do you think it'll be worth one day? $20?
Nothing.
I was about to say, I bet you that it would be worth $20 if the Menendez brothers weren't in the photo.
Unless every other card on Earth was destroyed, it's not going to be worth much, because there's so many out there.
Yeah.
If they're selling them on eBay for $20, there's a lot of cards out there.
Yeah. I'm not saying to buy one. I just thought it was fun to bring up this very strange coincidence.
Definitely
or circumstance.
Strange. And it's hilarious. Whoever was the first person who was going through their cards, like, I think that's the Menendez brothers.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Who discovered that?
Right, because 2 years ago, this documentary that has kind of brought them Menendez brothers back to light wasn't out yet. So someone was just searching through their cards and was like, hey, that looks like the Menendez brothers
That may be interesting one day. And so it kind of is. It reminds me a little of the story that happened with the Curb Your Enthusiasm.
I was just thinking about that? My man got off of the murder trial.
Guy was on a murder trial.
Oh, because of the Dodger game.
He was at the Dodger game, and Larry David...
I read all about that.
He was in the background while they're filming a scene, and it showed up.
His lawyer watched like every single second of that episode that they filmed at Dodger Stadium, and randomly
here you are,
he found it.
Here you are, like having to be serious, like trying to find the evidence that will get your freedom.
Yeah,
and he has to watch Curb, which is one of the funniest shows on the planet.
He watched all the Raw stuff, so it was
so he was able to get that. That's,
he went to the whoever HBO or whatever,
right,
whoever
does that.
He was he had to really work at this because
sure
Larry David doesn't show anyone anything.
And I can't imagine he had an easy time of asking Larry David for stuff. Yeah.
Larry David was like, okay, you can go look through it. And then he found it. But I talked about this. This was my daily gripe last night.
It has to do with
baseball. Yeah, this is a very good lawyer. it has to do with baseball cards. So some people out there were very angry with Jackson Merrill for signing a baseball card that you know, they said his signature was bleep. And
What
does that mean?
So there was three cars. There was Jackson Holiday, Jackson Cheerio, and Jackson Merrill that were being sold. And the Jackson Merrill signature was the worst of the three. And so everybody was super upset about the Jackson Merrill signature not being the real signature. And I have no idea. Like, for me, the Jackson Merrill signature would be the experience of getting Jackson to sign it or something like that. But they were so mad about it.
You know what's really frustrating? For someone to tell you what your signature actually looks like. That is just wild to me. They didn't like it because they said it didn't look like his signature.
It was a quick scribble.
I'm sure. He probably had signed a billion of those things at the time.
Yeah, I'm sure he did
too. If you want to know what Jackson Merrill's real signature looks like, call Jalen Waddle. Because Jalen Waddle has a signed Jackson Merrill jersey now.
That is true.
Right?
Yeah, that is true. But okay. I don't know. I just don't know why people are so upset. I don't get.
No, what is there to be upset about? You got an autograph.
They can't resell it. People can't prove it's his signature, I guess.
Yeah, well, by the way, not true. Every time those dudes sign something, they have
an
authenticator right there. So if they got a series of three, I promise you there is an authenticator.
Yeah, but you know what? You can have an authentic autograph, and Lola the maid can still mess it up.
Where are you going with
that? My friend, godson Connor, a couple of years ago for my birthday.
Really bad fantasy football player.
This year.
I'm about to say, you mean
he's having a bad year.
Yeah. Yes, he is.
But he does have a couple of championships, so I will defend him on that. A couple of years ago, he sent me a miniature Miami Dolphin helmet signed by Jalen Waddle. I didn't necessarily ask. He thought it'd be a really cool gift.
That's a good.
And it's signed by Jalen Waddle, and it's there, and it has a certificate of authenticity. I put it up on my shelf. I love it. First week it was up. I come back after the maid cleaned the room. The signature is smudged.
Oh.
She must have given it one of those, you know, just a quick wipe of the whole. Yeah.
Who does that?
Lola.
What? Is her name actually Lola?
Her name's Lola.
What possessed you to wipe a signature?
Trying to clean the helmet, I guess.
And was this like never dry ink or something?
Well, those pins on those helmets, they don't really
Sharpies?
Ever.
There's no way to perfectly dry it. Yeah,
and it probably wasn't a Sharpie if it's smudged.
Right. If you look,
those ones that click, 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 click.
The liquid joints. It's like a paint. Kind of like where you have to shake it. I get it. Okay.
I mean, it's still, if you walk by that, the helmet's in my office still. I'll take a picture of it and bring it in, but it looks still like his signature. But it is slightly smudged.
Yeah.
Man. Oh, never going to resell it.
It doesn't matter to me too much, but I'm just saying it was kind of frustrating.
I almost find that those things are better because then for the rest of your life, you could tell that story about how you're low of
thanks, but I don't have a good, clear signature of a guy who drops the ball every week and gets me angry.
Oh, man.
Apparently, courtside's tickets in 1990 were $35.
Get out of here.
In 1990, the New York Times reported that luxury courtside seats for Knicks games at Madison Square Garden cost up to $70 each for the 91-92 season.
I don't know. Laker tickets courtside, and that's when I actually covered the team.
And apparently,
quite
Mark Jackson,
a bit more than that.
If you have a Mark Jackson Menendez brother signed card, it's worth something because Mark Jackson won't sign those cards anymore from what I'm reading on the chat.
There we go. All right, that opened up a whole can of worms.
It sure did. All right, let's get to break on the other side. Scraby's got a big five. More Gwen and Chris.
Hello, hello. 4:38. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby.
Hello.
Continue on with that. Did you keep the rest of it?
Hello.
No, I just kept the hello part.
That's the hello?
Yeah, that was the best part.
Yes.
That like wasn't the best part. Like the best part is
talk like you're doing the show.
Talk like you're doing the show.
And then you go,
hello.
No, I said something else, silly. That was Friday. Missed that moment of brilliance. We welcome you back to Gwen and Chris. And we got Brent Sobleski in the 5 o'clock hour. He better be good. We've talked about him, talked him up here all show. But he'll be on to talk some NFL in the 5 o'clock hour. Plenty of storylines. Good weekend of NFL coming up.
Great weekend.
Starting tomorrow, actually. Thursday night game for a change. One that maybe even Al Michaels may not complain about is the Commanders and the Eagles for the...
By the way, I got a chance to watch last Thursday's game in the way that you have been
the Statcast.
And I had Trey watching it with me. He was loving it.
It's great.
It's a good watch.
It's a different camera angle, too. You see more of the field.
Seeing it from a little bit higher.
Yeah, and you still get Kirk Herbstreit and Al Michaels, but you get like them tracking the routes on the field, and then they put up different numbers.
It was actually pretty cool to watch that way.
The only thing I hate about that stat is the random guy that pops in who's terrible at reading. He is so bad at reading.
What's
he
read?
It'll pop up and be like, the Commanders went for it on fourth down there, but 25%. He just keeps like stumbling. Tony knows exactly what I'm talking about.
The funny thing was, Chris, I wasn't actually like, I was just kind of listening and doing some other things. Uh-huh. And at one point, I was like, "What's going on?
Yeah,
there?
What is happening?
What's
with this
guy?"
I
did something different last Thursday night that I hadn't done because I didn't see the game. I was traveling, but I wanted to see the highlights. But I didn't want to really know who won, and I wanted to see kind of how the game unfolded. I didn't know this.
Oh, yeah.
But YouTube TV has a 17 to 20 minute highlight video that they put up after every NFL game.
You can also just go to YouTube.
I said YouTube.
You said YouTube.
Right?
You said TV. Like you. Like,
oh,
you don't have to pay for it.
No. YouTube.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Go to YouTube. I typed in, I think it was Ravens, Bengals.
Yep.
And this whole video, and it's like 15, 17, and they take it from the opening kickoff. It felt like I watched almost the entire game.
You did.
And I really enjoyed it.
You just missed the middle.
Sorry?
You just missed the middle of plays, like the end of the play to the next play.
It was pretty good. So if you're ever in the mood for to relive a game or to kind of watch a game that wasn't on,
that ends up being
the YouTube thing's pretty good.
That ends up being between 17 and 20 minutes.
It's not every play.
Oh, okay.
It's like the beginning of every drive, a key play or two, the end of the drive, and then the next drive.
That's one of the, you really
don't miss much. They don't show every single play.
That's one of the things I like about Prime Video as well. When you're watching the Thursday football game, when you click the game, it gives you an option to join it live or watch the highlights that have happened leading up to that point.
That's a pretty good
feature. I think that's pretty cool too. Yeah. Although you still can't toggle back and forth between.
I say we talk about this for another 10 minutes and then go to the Big Five.
Carryover!
I hate the carryover. I hate it.
Well, you better get to traffic then soon.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we're going to get started with a little bit of Aaron Rodgers news, everybody. New York Jets quarterback Aaron Rodgers is in one of the worst statistical seasons of his legendary career, has said today that he does want to play in 2025, sort of. He was asked about it, and he said, quote, "I think so, yeah," which doesn't really give you a ringing endorsement of anything. But he
asked him? Who else? Pat McAfee. It's the only guy he talks to.
I was like, am I going to get lost in some sort of joke here?
No, it's the only person he talks to.
I thought you were going to say ayahuasca or something.
Right.
He is an ayahuasca enthusiast. That's right.
McAfee put that up.
Last offseason, Aaron Rodgers said he hopes to play two or three or four more years, indicated that the team's disappointing season so far has not changed his feelings. He said, not really, not negative. Not really, no. Okay. He's a man of many words. Chris, you're up first today. Do you think Aaron Rodgers should keep playing?
Not right now. I mean, he's going to have to change my mind in the last seven games. Or eight? Seven, eight? I think the Jets are 3-7, so I think they got seven games left. He's got to start looking a little closer to Aaron Rodgers. I can't blame this all on, like, an offensive line. I can't blame it any longer on what's the guy's name? The old offensive coordinator they finally got rid of?
Nathaniel.
Yeah, they can't blame it on Nathaniel anymore. Rodgers just does not throw the ball with the same zip, and except for maybe the short pass. Like I said last week, had one completion where the ball was in the air over 10 yards. That's not Aaron Rodgers. So either, you know, he's going to have to play a really good seven games to get my hopes up, or this is going to be bad news for the Jets.
They're stuck.
Because what are they going to do? Right? If he says, yeah, I'm coming back next year, I feel good. And the Jets are looking at this going, "What? Wait a minute." So I think it could be interesting.
Do you think Aaron Rodgers should keep playing, Tony?
Yes, I think he should. One, I'm not all that, you know, that didn't get me to feel good to be forcing a guy to retire that still wants to play. If the Jets still want him back. But I do agree with Chris, though. I think you're going to need to see these last seven games him return to, I'm not saying vintage Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if that's possible at 41, turning 42, but something in the realm that gives you hope that he could at least be what Peyton Manning was for the Broncos, right? Which is pretty much a game manager by that point. Right now, I think he's still playing as though he's the three-time MVP Aaron Rodgers.
He's not.
And maybe that's still in there, but he hasn't shown that to this point.
Devontae Adams is trying to play like the Devontae Adams, and he's not that either.
No,
anymore.
I mean, they're getting older.
That might have been a really bad pickup, I hate to tell the Jets. Devontae.
Well, they only gave up a fourth rounder for it.
It's not like they were dealing with the Cowboys and had to get a second round pick or whatever.
Number four. We all know about Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa and the concern about future head injuries. Well, Monday night there was another incident that had people talking. He threw an interception, Tua that is, and then he used his head to make the tackle. For a guy with a lot of head injuries, he sure does find ways to bump his head a lot during games. But here he is after the game talking to the media and apparently talking to them about the tackle with his head.
Tackle, how's it going?
Yeah, I feel good. Everything's good. I went up to that dude that intercepted me and asked him, like, bro, you couldn't just like ran out of bounds or like cut back. It was like, you seen me and I seen you. Like, you wanted to just run me over. He told me after the game, there was like, he's like, there's no room. There was nowhere else to go. So, you know, he got to do what he got to do to help his team win games. And you know, I wasn't planning on using my head to go hit him.
So there you go. Everybody was very concerned. My question for you, Tony, is, why do you think the public reacts this way when Tua bumps his head every time?
I don't know. It is quite strange to me. Like, I didn't know Tua became like the
poster guy, boy for head safety.
Like, everybody's watching him. Like,
yeah.
There are just literally hundreds, perhaps thousands, of hits during a week of
Drake
football
May
games.
Kiss came back from concussion protocol. There was an NBA guy who sat out, though. Dame Lillard sat out last night, concussion. It's happening everywhere, all over the leagues. Nobody's asking for anybody else to quit except Tua.
Tua's the only one they want to quit.
Yeah.
I think it'd be wise for him to. I think no one would look at him differently if he threw a pick and went the other way.
Yeah, just let the guy go.
Let the guys tackle him.
I don't know. He's stuck in a hard spot because then everybody's like, oh, man, you lost the game for us.
At this point, you know, I think they're already going to feel like that if he throws a pick anyway. But nonetheless, I think he's got the right attitude about it. He's at least being able to make fun of himself a little bit. A little strange that everybody is like so locked in on Tua.
Concerned about Tua, that's all. We're concerned.
Chris, what do you think?
Same. Okay. You know, I mean, that's, don't do what he did. I mean, when he did it, I saw it happen live.
Gosh.
I'm like, oh my goodness, what, are you really?
And then he popped right up. But, yeah,
but that doesn't mean he popped up the time the Bills threw him down on the ground 3 or 4 years ago.
And then he fell.
And that led to his first concussion.
And it started it all.
Yeah.
All right.
Number three.
Cleveland Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski said today that offensive tackle Jedrick Wills Jr.'s comment that he made a quote-unquote business decision in sitting out because of a lingering knee injury. He talked about that. He said, quote, "It was a poor choice of words. I know the connotation of business decision. That's not how he meant it. He did not feel like he was near 100% to help us, but a poor choice of words, and he understands it." Chris, you're up first. Mm-hmm. Is the phrase business decision negative?
I read this story and I didn't totally understand it. Evidently, they asked the player why he missed the game. And he said because of he couldn't go, right? He was hurt.
Yes.
And then...
But he said he made a business decision.
He said, "I made a business decision not to play." So the connotation being what?
He sat out because he didn't want to.
But he could have played.
That's the connotation. Yeah.
That's the connotation is that he could have played.
Yeah.
And the coach is saying, "I don't care what he said, he didn't mean that."
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, the coach is full of crap, as usual. I mean, we go back to the same thing we said earlier. If these coaches would just be honest... The guy, you know, didn't want to play, didn't want to risk it. And it was a bad look, I think, for his teammates. Well, I bet the coach has got to, I guess he's got to defend that or it's going to be a complete disaster. But I don't believe the coach.
I think the context is, because the coach didn't have to come out and say, this was 2 days ago that the player spoke. I think the context behind it is that after that game, he was told that he was no longer going to be the starter.
So
he was asked about not playing that week before, which led to him losing his starting position. And if you listen,
and then he said, "I made a bad business decision."
He made a business decision to sit out. But I kind of saw the video of it. He should have just said, "I wasn't good enough to play." But he used the term business decision when, in fact, according to the staff, medical staff, he wasn't good enough to go in the first place. So he set out, he lost his position. And I think he was saying, maybe I should have played through whatever it was I was dealing with. But I felt like it wasn't in my best interest at the time. So he's having to kind of grapple with the fact that he lost his starting position when he sat out that game.
I've heard his name many times. I think he was a high pick, too.
He was a
Jedrick
high pick.
Jedrick Wills.
Yeah.
All right. I think we can move on, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Number two.
Duke basketball is facing something many teams face, but apparently they can't figure it out. Cramping, everybody. After another one of his star freshmen dealt with cramping issues, Duke basketball coach John Shire said the recurring problem was, quote-unquote, concerning. Part of it, he went on to say, part of it is we have young bodies. I think that's part of it. We got to help these guys. We're not just trying to dip our toes in the water. We got to take a hard look at it, end quote. So, Tony, you're up first. How's one of the best college programs in the world have issues with hydration?
You know, the head coach for Duke is not happy, seemingly, with his staff on this. And I think it does have a lot to do with the fact, because it's the freshmen that are doing the cramping. And the reality is, for freshmen coming in, even for somebody as good as Cooper Flagg, who's like the number one player in the country, there's still some levels that they got to get to in terms of conditioning. And I think right now, early in the season, they're paying the price. Now, if this is something that continues throughout the rest of the season, then the head coach of Duke certainly will have the right to feel the way he does. It's early in this season. Second game, I think, for Duke last night. I think they'll get this worked out. I think those freshmen will adapt to the conditioning and the type of stuff that they're doing in real game action.
He's got to stop dipping his toes in the water and have the guys drink some of that water.
Some pickle juice.
Ew. Seems pretty simple to me.
Some toe water. Ugh.
Go with the Aztecs, man. They use that beet juice.
They do.
That works,
when
too.
When they go to altitude.
Interesting.
So.
We do have one more. I don't necessarily think we should consider it part of the
saying
Big Five.
It's a carryover.
See, I don't want to say it's a carryover, but we do need to talk about Eric Spoelstra and what he said after his guffaw.
It was
last
a major
night.
One. Yeah.
All right. We'll be back with that on Gwen and Chris 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.